Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the board meeting for Wednesday, June 12th. This will be budget hearings, contributions to outside agencies. And we'd like to begin the meeting this morning with a pledge to the flag. So if you'll join me, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And a few public reminders. There are hearing devices available on each side of the podium. This board chambers is T compatible for hearing devices. Anyone who wishes to speak this morning just needs to fill out the yellow slips are located in the back of the room in the box, and there are also slips in the lobby. Anything presented must be turned into the clerk, and there's no public comment period for matters not on the agenda today. We did that on Monday, so today public comment will just pertain to what's on the agenda today, contributions to outside agencies. So with that, we are going to move on and ask item number two on our agenda today, budget hearings for the fiscal year, recommended budget, and have an overview of the budget hearings from Monday by the administrative office, please.
Good morning. I'm Emily Jackson from the County Administrative Office. Wanted to provide a very brief overview of changes made by your board to the recommended budget on Monday of these hearings. I also provided a memo on each of your desks. I hope you found it. So your board approved all recommendations detailed in the supplemental budget document. The approval of those decreased the necessary general fund support for departmental budgets by $136,686, and of that money, $19,000 was allocated to RISE, and then an additional $106,000 was allocated to Fund Center 180, which is the Department of Social Services, to fund the expansion of the 60 Now program to 70 Now. That is the conclusion of our summary of changes. And before I hand it over to Ms. Nikki Schmidt from our office, I just want to thank everybody, all of our outside agency partners who are here today. I think that this is a very important piece of our budget. This is a competitive process, of course, and so the recommendations that are before your board today are the culmination of many months worth of work by our staff and our review committee that we have in place every year to make funding recommendations to your board. It is a very competitive process. Just like we had to reduce departmental budgets this year, we did make some reductions to this budget. And so I think as we move into this, I think it's important to remember there are a lot of worthy causes out there, but and we very much appreciate the efforts of all of our partners, but the budget is tightening. And so we're gonna have to be careful about how we allocate funding in this budget, as in all of our departments in the coming years, to make sure that we're able to sustain some amount of contribution to outside agencies, though not able to guarantee, obviously, that we'll be able to provide everybody the same level of funding year over year. With that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Schmidt for an overview presentation.
So Emily kind of told you my whole story. But so I'll beg your patience to listen to it again. I am Nikki Schmidt in the County Administrative Office, and I'm here to present the budget for Fund Center 106, contributions to other agencies. So total, the recommended $1.98 million will be used to fund district community projects, the community-based organizations preventive health grant, competitive grant program, as well as miscellaneous grants. In addition, this funding includes just under $38,000 in unallocated funding. Funding from this budget comes from the general fund and the tobacco settlement dollars. Overall, we're recommending about $1.6 million in general fund. This is a decrease of about $10,000 from fiscal year 18-19. This decrease does include the 2% reduction that was required from general fund departments to close the budget gap. Tobacco settlement funding is decreasing by approximately $54,000 from last year. This chart just provides an illustration how the grants are allocated. And as you can see, the community-based organization accounts for 55% of the grants recommended for funding. As noted several times this morning already, the community-based organization preventive health grant program is a competitive grant program. The recommendations before you are the results of a review by a committee that consists of a member at large and representatives from the Behavioral Health Board, the Adult Policy Council, Children's Services Network, and the Health Commission. Those members are appointed by their respective boards to the committee. All the proposals are reviewed and prioritized. The committee uses year-end reports, and they do site visits when considering their recommendations. Considerations include local need, funding sources, program project goals, collaboration with other agencies, requirements for a public match, and sustainability with any of the grants funded. As in previous years, the CBO Preventive Health Grant request for application was distributed in December, and a total of 74 proposals from 56 local nonprofits were received with requests totaling about $2 million. 67 projects are recommended for funding. Of those, 18 are recommended to be funded out of tobacco settlement, 47 are recommended to be funded out of the general fund, and 2 are recommended to be funded out of both. Overall, the recommended funding level of $1.4 million is a 4% decrease from fiscal year 18-19. Since fiscal year 2005 and 6, and including these recommendations before you today, $16.5 million in grants have been funded from these two programs. Specifically for the community-based organization category, funding is recommended to remain at $1,091,500. This is the same as what was adopted in fiscal year 18-19. Projects include a variety of programs for children, such as mentoring programs, child abuse prevention, clothing, recreational activity, and for programs such as food distribution, mental health, and domestic violence counseling, tattoo removal, as well as a variety of programs for seniors. For many of these organizations, the recommended funding meets the public match requirement. Funding in the amount of $348,000 is recommended from preventive health grants. This amount represents a 4% decrease, about $56,000 when compared to fiscal year 18-19. Funding from tobacco settlement monies does fluctuate from year to year. Projects include wellness centers, mental health crisis counseling, housing programs, healthy eating programs for children, and recovery support, among others. Programs funded in the other agency request section of Fund Center 106 covers a wide range of services and projects that are not typically health and human services related. They also, some of them, fulfill the requirement for a public match. For example, funding for the Central Coast Commission for Senior Citizens, or the AAA, meets the Older Americans Act requirement for a public match. The funding recommended for the San Luis Obispo County Arts Council, Arts Obispo, also fulfills the requirement for a public match for the State Local Partnership Program. The other agency grant also includes some discretionary funding for the SLO Veterans Museum and the Resource Conservation Districts. The decrease in this category is primarily attributed to the one-time contribution of $400,000 your board made last year for the SLO Museum of Art capital campaign. Funding in this category also includes $10,000 for the Action for Healthy Community Survey. And finally, but certainly not the least of the programs in this fund center, is the District Community Grant Program. It is recommended to remain at fiscal year 18-19 adopted levels of $250,000 or $50,000 per supervisorial district. And any funds remaining at the end of the year will be carried forward. This is consistent with prior year's action. As of May 14th, 125 projects totaling $194,000 have been funded from your board's district community project funds. Projects include fundraisers for various nonprofit organizations, veterans programs, concerts in the park, festivals, beach cleanups, multiple children's programs, and as well as funding for your district's community advisory groups. Since fiscal year 2005-06, this program has funded over $2 million in grants. And that concludes my presentation. Available to answer any question.
Thank you, Nikki. Any questions from the board? I don't see any lights on, so we're going to go out to the public. We have several requests to speak, and we'll start with Bernadette. Let's see Bernadette just yet. Peggy Sonata, followed by Catherine Manning.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors and staff. First of all, as always and as should be, I'd like to thank Nikki and her staff for being totally understanding and flexible and working with us on a yearly basis when things come up that we aren't aware of or that we might have overlooked or added and all of that. So thank you for that. And also, I would like to thank County Administrative Office as well as County Council and all of you for allowing our county library to accept a family literacy grant from the California State Library Literacy Service, kind of a mid-year thing. I went to a conference and got all excited about this new funding source. And I didn't know that we needed to have your approval before we could even apply for those funds. So thank you for being understanding about that. And I'm delighted to say that working with our ongoing partners at the county library level, we continue to be their adult literacy services. And we are happy that those funds will be provided for family literacy, which will directly benefit our adults in the program. They kind of go hand in hand. So thank you so much for that. A few figures, the most recent yesterday's figures, as of yesterday, we are serving 445 learners countywide with 352 volunteer tutors. And I say that as of yesterday because our work is always very flexible and people come and go for a variety of reasons, but we stay on them and we our tutors are amazing. They not only volunteer, but they provide us with the data that we need. And we've transitioned, I guess it's been 2 years now, to mostly online reporting. And as you might imagine, that's presented some issues. So just last night in watching the PBS News, maybe some of you saw it, though it focused on adult education, it was really about adult literacy. 36 million adults in the U.S. are at the lowest literacy levels, and only 1.5 million of those are served throughout the United States. Doesn't that just blow you away in a negative way? It certainly pleases me that, you know, even though we're in the trenches and working with little funding, we do what we can to eliminate that problem or at least make it better. And we always work with a figure, and someone else might have a more recent one. Our county is right around 17% when you take all things into account for adult literacy. So thank you, thank you, thank you on all fronts, and thank you for approving our grant. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernadette. Peggy Sonata, and Peggy will be followed by Catherine Manning.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting us in this morning. My name is Peggy Sonoda. I'm president of the Board of Arts Obispo, also known as the County Arts Council, and we are the designated local partner of the California Arts Council. Wanted to come to you this morning and thank you for all of your support over the years and just give you a few highlights of what we're looking forward to this year. Your funding will allow us to match the state grant, and we're really looking forward. We've been working with an interim executive director. We intend to do a full and broad search in the coming months with our state funding coming and the county funding. And we will work with that person on strategic plans, continuing to build upon the programs, the really successful programs we have. Poetry Out Loud competition for our high school students this year. San Luis Obispo County's champion took second place at the state finals. So that was a really Penny Della Pella. And between Poetry Out Loud, the Poet Laureate, we will be bringing the new Poet Laureate to you shortly. And we also just received a $16,000 grant for the Veterans Voices program, which was funded by the Veterans and Arts program by the California Arts Council. So the base funding you give us supports all of those efforts. And we look forward, I'll be back, or someone from Arts Obispo will be back in a few months to invite you to or to hear more about details as we plan our creative economy forum that we had to cancel last year when we lost our executive director suddenly. And then also to invite you to the 21st annual Open Studios Art Tour this coming October. So again, thank you all. Thanks, Nikki, for all your help.
Thank you. And Catherine Manning, followed by David Gilligan.
Good morning to everyone. Thank you so much for the opportunity to present. Appreciate your support. My name is Catherine Manning. I work with People's Self-Help Housing. We are a affordable housing agency. We've been providing services in the community for almost 50 years. Not only are we providing affordable housing, but attached to that is a clinical case management team. I am a licensed clinical social worker. I work with other licensed clinicians on our team or those that are licensed, moving towards licensure. My experience in this county has been for about 21 years. I came here as a postgraduate in 1997 and served 10 years in the homeless community. And I would submit that the solution to homelessness is housing. But in addition to housing, you need a team that is going to support people in housing. And that is what our program does, our team does that serves our properties. In San Luis Obispo County, we have 26 affordable housing properties with a team of about six people serving those. We don't serve everyone. We serve the people that present a need. And those needs vary from anything from being at risk for not being able to pay rent, rental assistance. It could be domestic violence. It could be needing parenting classes. And we are an on-site clinical case management team that connects with the resources in the community. So all the people that you will hear from today, our role is not only to provide services, but to be a solution, a prevention to keeping people from getting health issues, from getting evicted, those type of things, to when they lose their jobs, helping them get jobs, when they have counseling issues, to provide them counseling as well as connecting them to counseling. So I've been very happy working for this company. I've been with the company for 6 years. I feel it's very unique. We have approval from other agencies in regards to just being able to maintain people in housing, which is a wonderful option. So I think that you're all familiar, but I could, list the multiple agencies we work with. You'll hear from them today, the Department of Social Services, Housing Authority of San Luis Obispo. There's, multiple agencies, but the issue is many people in the community don't know where those resources are. They don't know how to connect with those resources. And so we are a linkage to those resources, helping them to find them, to apply for them and to sustain them. And it starts, from a young age to an old age, so we work with, children, we work with youth, we work with seniors, and just really want to see people that were born in this community continue to have successful housing and then transition into whatever that next step is, including education, nursing homes, and those things. So thank you so much for the opportunity to present.
Thank you. And David Gilliland, followed by Calvin Jones, please.
Madam Council and members of council. My name is Dave Gilliland, and I'm 27 years clean, and I'm an emotional person, but I'm a union electrician, and I have two sons that are union electricians. And 27 years ago, I didn't have them. I lost them. North County Connection was there. And the staff at North County Connection, not just the meeting place, but the staff was important because they helped me find where to go to get help, to get custody back with my kids, and to get my life back together. Now I got 27 years clean, and I'm a union member now. I got a GED because of the help the staff at North County Connection directed me where to go, how to get with social services, how to get everything, where to go. People who are addicts don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They're lost. And without staff being at North County Connection for them every day, I used to go and sleep on their couch because I had nowhere. But I wanted my kids back. If it wasn't for Sue Warren and Buddy Roland from North County Connection, I wouldn't have got my kids. I had full custody of my kids growing up. And like I said, today, my sons are both union electricians. One of them just graduated Friday from the apprenticeship. And, you know, I'm a very proud dad. But I wouldn't have it if it wasn't for the staff at North County Connection. Those people, they know where to direct you. They know who you are. They understand where you're coming from. And if they have to hold your hand, they will, to help you get to where you got to go. These agencies are there. But if you don't know how to get to them or get, there's no one there to direct you as an addict, you're not going to get there. So if you could please look into staffing and keeping staff at North County Connection to help people like me and others, I would really appreciate it. Please give to this county what they so need, and that's people to help addicts. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Calvin Jones, and let's see, followed by Monica Grant.
Good morning, folks. I'm just here to help encourage and to hopefully get something done that will assist you and help every county in raising some funds. I have come up and spoke a few times on protecting our jobs so that it protects our revenue base. And, well, you weren't here, Ms. Compton, at the time. You were getting well. You were a little under the weather. But I'm just here to reiterate that if we protect our jobs and watch out for automation, then we can continue to have the revenue coming in to protect our budgets. But I would like the board to consider negotiating with hotels and see about getting a one-time parking fee as well as resort fees so that we can raise funds to be able to provide counselors for the homeless for each of our counties, each of our places and communities that we have here. I think it would be beneficial for us to do this so that, you know, while the iron is hot, we need to strike. Because right now things are going in the right direction. And if we can put these things in place, I think that we can raise the funds to help keep law enforcement, fire, ambulance, and like I said, add some caseworkers to help with some of our homeless problems as well. And so that was it. I know we could raise millions of dollars if this is done for each county. I think every time that each one of you show up, I think anybody on any council at any community would be able to look at you and say, hey, thanks for sending us the extra bucks and putting something in place. So I would like to say, if you could please, for the county, place these things in position so that we could raise the funds to help everybody with all of these things. That's it. I just wanted that time. It's good to see everybody here, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. And Monica, followed by Carrie Sanders. Supervisor Pashong's on your board, so he's going to recuse just on this. Yeah.
Thank you, Board of Supervisors, Nikki and other staff. I truly appreciate the grants that the Y has received in the past to fund our healthy eating physical activity curriculum for over 650 kids in this county that we serve after school and in preschool. I am of the firm belief that a key ingredient to improving public health is through children and their families. And I know this from the 30 years that I have personally worked with children and families on this topic and issue. That's why we launched healthy eating and physical activity curriculum in after school sites 6 years ago. We fund that program through a combination of private contributions, foundation grants, and has been also the county grant. This is a chronic disease prevention program, plain and simple. We don't tell the kids that because they would not want to come, but that's what it is. And the data has been incredible and impressive on behavior change that we have seen in working with these kids and families. So there's a garden project. We have three gardens. There's fresh foods that come from Tally Foods through our partnership. They cook every week. There's physical activity. There's a large jump-in, jump-rope event at the end of the year, which is our culmination program. And for kids who are not sports kids, to get to be in a jump rope competition is truly life-changing. It's one of my favorite things on the planet to get to watch. But I want to say that this program has been able to grow, and we have launched now, last year we did three family nights countywide. That is to connect families closer to this curriculum. They were incredible events. One of the events we did was with Echo Homeless Shelter up in North County. There we had 80 families come out for a healthy, free dinner, Zumba class, and yoga. And again, what an incredible experience to be part of. So my goal was to continue to grow this curriculum. The committee's recommendation, unfortunately, is to cut our grant back from what it was at. We had $15,000 last year. I had hoped to grow. Now it's being recommendation is to cut to $10,000. I have full respect for all the nonprofits here. I am asking that we not go backward, but that we keep moving forward in changing kids' health through this, what I think is a very impactful curriculum. So I am asking to reinstate back to the level we had been. I am not expecting to grow this year, but to go back to the 15,000 that we had been able to run the program for 650 kids in this county. So I truly appreciate your support and consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Carrie Sanders from Courtney's House, followed by Bart Topham.
Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm Carrie Sanders, founder and board president of Courtney's House in Templeton. I'm here to personally say thank you for your recommendation this year for some funding. We're fairly new to this process, and it means a lot to us that you gave that recommendation. So Courtney's House, through vocational and enrichment programs, is dedicated to inclusion and opportunity for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities by helping them find their strengths, celebrate those strengths, and their value to our community. We enrich their lives, but we also enrich the lives of their families and our community as a whole as they interact with our community members. Our full-service cafe, FAG at Courtney's House, is our biggest program, and last year we served 18 interns and 5 employees with disabilities through this full-service cafe. Because of your support this year, we can continue to offer the vocational and life skills training to 20 interns and 5 to 7 employees. As they are an integral part of our program and interact with the community and share our mission and are instrumental in serving over 14,000 meals per year. They have a lot of interaction with our community members, and it's pretty awesome to watch. interns like Maggie, who after a year in our training program is now one of our employees and fully supported by staff and job coaches. We have Hunter, who after, about a year in our training program, he graduated and landed his desired position at a local Smart and Final store. And then we also have interns like Justin, who because of his obstacles may or may not reach outside employment, but he will always have a place at FIG because we're committed to giving him that place where he can grow and learn the life skills and gain confidence in the abilities that he does have. So again, just on behalf of all of us, just want to say thank you very much for your recommendation. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And our next speaker, Bart Topham with the Slo Veterans Museum. There he is. And Bart will be followed by Sue Warren, North County Connection.
Thank you and good morning. We're here today representing the Veterans Memorial Museum and to thank you for your continued support. As an all-volunteer organization, we depend entirely on donations and grants. And we were founded 20 years ago, and we were founded with donated, used equipment and infrastructure and have built that into what we believe is a fine organization that provides an important contribution to our community. Although our motto is lest we forget, we also provide a number of other things. Thanks to your support, we are able to expand our outreach program and are developing a new program to take to schools. We are trying to improve, thanks again to support from you folks, our research and archive area by replacing all of the old and deteriorating shelving and storage. And we are also working to develop a mobile exhibit to take out and show. I think it's important to not only preserve certain memories and provide information about military service and conflicts, but to educate young people on the sacrifices that many of our veterans have made. And to, well, we emphasize the local families and community particularly, so we have a lot of local folks coming in. But we also are getting more and more people from around the country. And we get a lot of comments, positive comments, about the educational processes we provide, not only the history project that we do with the Library of Congress, but many of the other things. And thanks to continued support, we're expanding those programs. So once again, thank you so much.
Thank you. And Sue Warren, be followed by Stephen Rosenlund.
Good morning, Supervisors. I'm Sue Warren with North County Connection, and actually I'm a founding member and a continuing board member at the Cambria Connection. And I gave you guys a letter and some supporting documents so you understand some of the full history of how we got there. We got there due to community need and trying to get services up into our isolated community for people who knew they needed recovery, but they didn't want to do the more public meetings, but they wanted counseling. And so we were directed at that time. We went first to County Drug and Alcohol, and they said no, they couldn't afford to send a therapist up there, even though we had a room and everything available, and we were only asking for an afternoon. But so we went back to the supervisors at that time, and they directed them to work with us. And this was something new that was at a statewide conference, and a group of us went to that conference and said, wow, this social model, community recovery resource centers could be a real win-win partnership. And that's how they got developed. And this was, Cambria's was 33 years ago, and they're still going strong and have expanded as a resource center because it is a small community. Nobody's going to come in there if you say you're the recovery center. I found that out. I was sitting there as a staff person. So we started bringing in other kinds of educational programs and other kinds of resources and it expanded that. The opposite's true for North County Connection. We were getting requests for all kinds of things, and that's where the link became. We said, well, let's try this as school-based, where they're working with families to help them find housing and food, and then we're over here. We can focus on the recovery end of it. And that's where we found our strength is in helping families, because recovery is a process, and it's a difficult process, and it makes it difficult to navigate all the other resources in the community if you don't have a guide there with you. And I gave you some of that data, too, from the Health Foundation that, you know, most of the people in the state are self-referred. They're not criminal justice. That's a very small portion of people needing recovery and treatment services. People are starting to self-refer. So they need a place that's anonymous, free, and where they can find out about whatever resource it is they need to help them stay clean and sober. And so I just wanted to say on this funding, we were contracted to begin with, and we need some help from the county, not just for us. Los Osos Cares has a center, but we need to find a way. You know, you guys write checks for case managers for all the big three. You know, they need something, they get it. Well, you know, we need to look at how we're going to help these resource centers because we're primary prevention. We're trying to help people before they get homeless, before they wind up in the ER, you know, before they wind up in jail. And that's going to save you money. So I hope that we can come together and talk about how we can fund all of our resource centers. Thank you, Sue.
Stephen Rosenland, followed by Helen Robertson with Assistance Sleep.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Stephen Rosenland. I'm from the Cambria Connection. With me today, of course, Sue, you just heard from her, and our board member, Dean Werwin. Who is not here today is our brilliant and wonderful part-time staff member, Sue Preston. She is out supervising the delivery of almost 2 tons of food to families in Cambria and San Simeon who normally can't afford to have lunches when school gets out. So I'm glad she's out doing that. So I've been a volunteer at the Connection for 10 years now. During that time, I've seen the Connection go from a struggling nonprofit ready to close down to, with your help, what we are now, which is a thriving, respected, and important community resource center that last year provided more than 9,000 service connections to our neighbors in San Simeon and Cambria. The budget request this year, or the grant request this year, cuts our budget in half. 3 years ago, this board started funding a staff member for us, and I believe that that is why we were able to make the progress I'm going to read to you in a minute. This new recommendation, we lose a staff member. So we lose a staff member, but I'd also like to point out what the citizens of Cambria and San Simeon lose. We served 2,500 free lunches last year through the North Coast Summer Lunch Program. We provided more than 400 hours of counseling services, either free or low cost, through the Community Counseling Center and private providers. We made more than 100 hours of free Medicare counseling to seniors. Excuse me, I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know why. I guess I'm a little emotional about this, too. So, more than 200 food deliveries to those people with critical illnesses. These are all free services that we provide. We provide a home for Department of Social Services and Transition Mental Health to do outreach in these two communities. They haven't been there for almost a decade now. We now provide a place for them to provide those services. And we do drug and alcohol-free community celebrations. Last year, we fed more than 400 people at the 4th of July. Top of that, and I don't think we're going to lose this, but we also had recorded attendance of more than 7,000 people at 12-step meetings, 7,000 attendance. Connection does good work. We appreciate your support. I hope you can help us keep our staff member. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Helen Robertson will be followed by Charlotte Alexander.
Good morning. My name is Helen Robertson, and I'm the newly elected president of the Assistance League of San Luis Obispo County. I may need a little patience because I'm very new at this. I'm honored to be here this morning to thank you for your expectation to fully fund our grant request for our philanthropic program, Operation School Bell. We are a nonprofit organization that provides new appropriate school clothes to students throughout San Luis Obispo County. We dress students in all 37 schools in the 10 school districts in our county. We have 150 members in our organization. We have no paid staff. There are over 34,000 children in school in San Luis Obispo County. Of those students, 14,000 live at or below the federal poverty level. That's 39% of the children in our county. Our goal for this school year is to dress 2,000 of these students. That's only one in seven. For the second year, we have conducted a measurable outcome survey of all the schools in all 10 districts in our county. We had 100% response from the districts. The survey indicates that 70% of the children we dress have had a positive change in their behavior in this classroom. 67% have indicated to the teachers they have more confidence in themselves. And 71% are more willing to engage with their peers and other members of the school staff. Our long-term goal is not just to dress these students, but through dressing these students to help them achieve their academic goals as well as have the confidence to participate in activities in their school, such as athletics, drama, band, and choir. They need the confidence in themselves and to step out and do those things. In the 18-19 school year, we dressed 2,180 students. The students get new clothes at Old Navy in San Luis Obispo and in Kohl's in Paso Robles. We all know that children are judged in part by their appearance, not only by their peers, but in many cases by their teachers. When they are provided these new school clothes, they go to school the next day with one aspect of poverty removed. They look like their peers, and they can begin to participate in the class. Your continued support of Assistance League validates our program, and it helps us achieve our mission, and it helps us be accepted through all out the community because you have supported us. Your support has helped us dress hundreds of students throughout the years, and we really appreciate your continued support.
Thank you.
Just wanted to mention real quickly that I know you're very interested in the homeless population, and we are now working with Showers of Hope, and through our thrift store, we're donating slightly used pants and shirts for the people when they get done with their shower. So that's an additional program we're doing. Thank you so much.
Our next speaker, Charlotte Alexander, will be followed by Grace McIntosh.
Good morning. I'm Charlotte Alexander. I'm the operations manager for Five Cities Homeless Coalition. I'm here today to thank each one of you on the board. On behalf of the board of directors, the staff, and the hundreds of volunteers of Five Cities Homeless Coalition. This summer, we're recognizing our 10th anniversary as an organization. Actually, I should use the word coalition because what we are is a coalition of services in the South County. We do what we do. We strive to do what we do for the community. With the help of many partners, many of whom are here today, thanking you as well for their support, People's Self-Help Housing, Capslow, Echo, People's Kitchen, I can go on and on. But one partnership that means a lot to us right now is the partnership we have with the County of San Luis Obispo. So not only would I like to convey our appreciation to each of you, but to county staff. We work with the Department of Social Services. We work with Planning and Building Department. We work with Nikki and other people in the administration office on an almost daily basis. I'm in contact almost on a daily basis because thanks to the county, thanks to county staff, we have been able to leverage funding from the county to get money from outside the county to come in. Money that you've given us here today and in terms of CBO supports all of the services we've been doing, but we cannot do what we've been doing without county staff. So I just want to recognize them, thank all of you, and let you know that not only do we appreciate the funding included in today's agenda, but all the past really positive support we receive from each of you and from each of the county staff every day of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. And Grace McIntosh?
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Grace McIntosh. I'm the deputy director at CAPSLO. And first of all, I would like to thank Nikki and her staff for the many, many hours and days and probably weeks of work and effort and going into the recommendations. I know it's very, very difficult. Lots of wonderful agencies. I want to thank you for your ongoing support for a number of our programs, Liberty Tattoo Removal, Adult Day Center, Adult Wellness, Family Resource Centers, 40 Prado. They really do span the lifespan. I want to take a moment, though, to talk about a specific population, and that is our seniors. In our Adult Day Center, which is the only social model program located up in North County, we are seeing that silver tsunami, they call it, of older adults with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. That number is drastically increasing. In our mobile screening, adult wellness screening, we're seeing more and more individuals that are having an increasing difficulty navigating their daily lives because of dementia, or Alzheimer's, mental health issues, medical issues. At 40 Prado, our homeless services center, that is the largest percentage of population growth that we're seeing, individuals that have significant mental health issues, that have mild to moderate plus Alzheimer's or dementia and mental health issues. This is a significant issue. We're trying to deal with it, but we need the support and we need the community to really know the extent of what we're seeing. I would just urge you to come visit 40 Prado anytime you can. Go to our Adult Day Center. This is a significant issue that is going to end up being, if not later, certainly sooner, maybe sooner rather than later, an issue that is going to impact our community greatly. Thank you.
Thank you, Grace. We have one more request to speak, but it's really coming in writing. And Jenny Luciano from Big Brothers Big Sisters wanted it read that Big Brothers Big Sisters. Yeah, she asked that this. Yeah, did you want to come to the podium? Okay. Big Brothers and Big Sisters does not need to speak, but wants to thank the board and county for their ongoing support. So thank you, Jenny. And that concludes our request to speak. Is there anyone else that wishes to fill out a slip and come to the podium? If not, we're going to bring this back to the board for deliberations, comments, questions, deliberations. I don't see any lights on. I just wanted to say, and I appreciate everyone that came down this morning to update us or, you know, let us know what all these wonderful organizations are doing. And I know that community-based organization Preventative Health Grant Review Committee, which is made up of the committee's made up of representatives appointed by the Adult Services Policy Council, the Behavioral Health Advisory Board, the Health Commission, the Children's Services Network, and one member at large. So that committee has spent a good portion of the year trying to sort out how to disperse and allocate limited amount of funds. And we heard from Nikki earlier that some of, especially our our health preventative health grant funds shrunk just a little bit. It's always hard to, we wish we could give more to some of the very deserving organizations that we heard from this morning, but today we're faced with taking the recommendations of the committee and getting ready to pass this on so that these funds can be allocated out. So with that, I'll be asking my colleagues up here for a tentative motion to approve the recommended budget for contributions to outside agencies, including any changes made by the board.
I'll make a motion to approve it. I asked before, but just for the benefit of people that are here, we took care of the RISE situation, so that doesn't need to be discussed today. So I'll make a motion to approve the tentative with any changes.
I'll second the motion, and also want to thank, you know, we have a lot of folks here that work in our service provider community, and it's not really, I think, a secret that the demands have continued to outpace the resources that we have, particularly when it comes to some of the most severe needs. And we see that many of these issues have reached crisis proportion. We've seen it throughout the state. And I think we're actually kind of, I think we're insulated to some degree from some of the severity that is probably coming. I've talked about it, you know, in previous meetings. So I really thank folks that are, you know, out there, you know, helping people in a variety of ways that that are really saving lives, that are really helping people get back on some kind of healthy course in their life, too, because we are really pressed, and it's difficult to have to say no because of all these other things at times. But I know I can speak for all of us that we wish we had the resources to be able to fund every request at its maximum. And in some cases, we probably need to look a little bit deeper beyond today about how we can help, because some of the problems, some of the issues, some of the things that you do that are good for the community always end up costing us more the longer we let them go unattended. So I really do, you know, it's always, you know, I have great, great respect for everybody who is, who is letting themselves be motivated by their sense of compassion and their sense of wanting to bring people from the margins into the circle of our community and to help them. So I'm greatly appreciative of that.
Supervisor Gibson, did you have?
As I am as well, and want to speak to that here in just a moment, because I think we're seeing a phenomenon that this board should support. Let me add my thanks to everyone who's worked on this. This is tough business. And as I look through the pages here, seeing requests made and recommendations coming in at less than those requests, I know there's unmet need out there. And I know that were we to provide another dollar worth of services to virtually any one of the requesting agencies here, something good would come of it. And I think we should take that very seriously. Supervisor Hill touched on it. Homelessness is a horrible reality that we face right now. And as we watch numbers rolling out statewide, it's getting worse. My feeling is, as we look at the good things that our various community organizations do, alleviating the suffering of homelessness is my top priority. And I would like to see funds going most directly to serving those who are most vulnerable. The key aspect of that is that this is a problem throughout this county. There is no community, rich or poor, that is immune from it. And I fear there are many who teeter on the edge of slipping into homelessness. And I think, again, the surveys of the population increase in unsheltered homeless is bearing that out. I would note, and I'm a little bit surprised that we hadn't gotten to this discussion before the motion was made, that it was noted that we have a little under $38,000 unallocated within this particular fund center. And my feeling is that those funds should be allocated, and it should focus on the most direct effect that we could have on relieving the relieving the suffering of homelessness. As I look out there, you know, the places where those funds could go seem obvious to me: addiction, mental health issues, this borderline poverty that, for want of one small emergency rent check is missed and housing is lost. And I'd like to have a conversation as to where we can do that. In response to these issues, I'm tremendously heartened by what I see happening in our individual communities, a new sort of movement, if you will. I see springing spontaneously in a number of communities, and we might call them community resource centers. These are groups of people who have come together to take care of the needs of the people that they know have needs within their community. You know, over the years, I've been very supportive of the Cambria Connection. And as Ms. Warren, Mr. Rosalind mentioned, their origins come out of recovery, which is a, you know, part of the combating the addiction. And that seems to be a solid program for them. But in particular in Cambria, the particular needs of that community, where poverty is hidden under might call it a veneer of affluence, the Cambria Connection has stepped up and reached out to a number of groups who otherwise wouldn't get served. Low-income seniors, low-income school-age children. And I, because I am their representative on this board, I know, I think, a bit more than average about what they do and the difference that they make. It's interesting to me to track the history of their funding. As they've come before, you know, in their application, they've made requests that have not been funded at the level of their requests. And I've been in fairly thorough discussion to understand where their requests come from. And quite regularly, the recommended amounts come in much less than that. And as I've been thinking about that, I think it prompts the necessity of having a conversation about the particular sort of organization that springs from its community, looks to address specific community needs, very, very often in places like Cambria that are geographically isolated and thus have very big challenges in getting to the resources that are more abundant in our larger larger urban areas. I'd like to see an increase, frankly, to the Cambria Connection today. I don't know that, you know, given the amount of money and the needs that are all over the county, that you know, I would be, and I'm not going to recommend their full funding, which would absorb most of the unallocated funds, but. I would like to give them a buffer, $5,000 at least, because going forward, they have started programs that they're going to struggle to maintain. And these programs, like school lunches in San Simeon and, you know, contact with homebound seniors and others like that, are right on the forefront of dealing with the poverty that's really at the root of homelessness. I would like to look at other opportunities. I have a hard time leaving unallocated funds in this fund center because I look up and down this this list of organizations and looking particularly at the ones who would outreach directly to those who are most vulnerable and least financially capable in this community, whose survival, whose access to shelter, whose access to food is tenuous. I would like to see other contributions made. I'd also like to see a conversation about the county's role in funding community resource centers. We're seeing them pop up, as I indicated, in a lot of different places. Los Osos has a tremendous program underway. They have made a very modest request that we funded, I believe, Fund Center 290. And yet I know the need is great in Los Osos. It's the largest unincorporated community in the county. It is a place where median household income is not much different from the state average, and we can expect that as they grow their program, more needs. They provide leverage for county funding. All these community resource centers provide places for county staff to meet with clients, provide places where other nonprofits, such as TEMA, for one, can meet with people they can help. And I think that means we should look very carefully about investing, and I'd like to see that go. So my thought is to support Cambria Connection with an additional $5,000, and if we don't have specific recommendations of allocating the remaining unallocated funds, to ask staff to relook at this through the lens of the homeless issue.
Supervisor Gibson, I actually agree with you. And in looking through these requests, I know that many of the organizations requested more than they have in the past, and that is always an ongoing problem for us. But it is hard to see organizations that have worked really hard and done a lot of good their funding is cut in half. We dealt with that with RISE, and we reinstated full funding for RISE, only because we know that you get your program ramped up, and when you're showing such success, and then all of a sudden half your funding is jerked away. We heard from Cambria Connection that they'd hired a staff person and been doing a lot of work up there, and the funding has been cut in half. And that's going to make it difficult to keep that staff person. So I would be supportive of reinstating part of that remaining balance to Cambria. I would also like to see a portion of it going over to North County Connection, because they have a lot going on there as well, and their business has grown, if you will, and they could really use some of the money. And lastly, something that, again, going back to the fact that we've supported them in the past and now recommending we don't support them at all, and that's the Center for Family Strengthening, which does a great job with working with children and families. And in this case, it's the top, if anyone's interested, the top of page 244. Center for Family Strengthening has their kids toolbox for personal safety, et cetera. And it's a really wonderful program. Not all that expensive, but it helps low-income children be prepared for school and the things that they need, the basic things that they need. And they ask this year for more, but instead of more, they got a zero. So I'd sure like to reinstate at least the $2,000 that they had received in the previous year, and maybe 10 for North County Connection, and I think something more like 15 to Cambria Connection, so that they can continue to work with their staff folks that they have built the program to need. So that's my recommendation for at least a portion of it.
So are you looking to me to amend my motion? If everybody agrees with that?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm fine with that.
I have something I wanted to add. Not a specific ask. I'm not. Okay. I did want to follow up on something that Supervisor Gibson brought up on the process. And I'm probably not the only one who thinks it's just a strange kind of competitive process that makes a lot of people cringe, especially if they're not here supporting things that are pure charity, but things that are still important to the community, such as our arts and our culture organizations, the people who do a lot of good work for our community in a variety of other ways. So I'm gonna propose that we direct staff to, this is not, this specific instance of this day where people come and make their case is not a requirement by anybody. I think it may have become a tradition that I'm not sure is really that great of a tradition anymore, because I think we can, in fact, you know, stick to the budget, stick to the process, maybe even discuss some of the requirements and the criteria in future. But this is not in and of itself required, like that we be here. And because I always feel kind of lousy, quite frankly. I don't know if that's true. I like to hear what our organizations are doing. Then I feel lousy if we're not giving you more money, or I feel lousy if we're not, you know, saying, hey, we should praise all these groups. It's just it's just not the best situation to do this. So I'm just going to propose as part of the motion that we look at this part of the process. And it might be something, you know, Supervisor Compton a few years ago pushed and succeeded, and I think it was successful so far, to increase supervisors' community funds, because that allows us specifically within communities and sometimes groups that we work directly with that we know, which is what Supervisor Gibson and I think Supervisor Arnold was also talking about. You know, there's just certain groups that are serving communities in the districts that, you know, may not have the resources that other larger organizations, and that gets to what Ms. Warren was talking about. So I'm going to recommend I'm supportive of anybody. You know, the work that's done is great work, and I, like I said, I am truly, heartfully grateful for the people who step up in this community to help others. So, but I do hope we can direct staff to look at this specific Wednesday CBO process to see if we can change it and, you know, make some recommendations to bring back for the board at some point, which won't affect anybody here, except you might not have to come through this exercise, which I'm not sure is fun, but maybe it is. Maybe I'm just being a spoiler on this, but I want to be able to support everybody in these. I see people nodding, so hopefully that means it's like, yeah, this is kind of cringing. Not just me speaking. So that would be my, if my colleagues also is a.
So it's okay. And let me ask if I'm interpreting this correctly or incorrectly.
Please.
So the motion that I made, incorporating the changes, and I didn't add them up. Is there any?
No, I have one more thing to say when you're
okay.
Ready.
So
you're ready.
I guess my suggestion was going to be whatever the changes were, I'm fine with the changes that everybody suggested and the different organizations. And then if there's any balance left, just divide it and go to community funds for district projects. Is that what you're saying? Because I would be supportive of that. We're already out of money for local projects.
Sure. Actually, I mean, that's actually not a bad idea either. But what I'm saying is just the large, you know, like we don't have to do it this way. And partly because of the budget constraints that we have, and maybe we spend more time working with some of these groups. I was just saying, let's look at this process of having people, like groups come here and some groups aren't here. They're happy with what they got. Groups come here, they're thankful. And then there's other groups that's like, we need more. And I think it just puts everybody in a tough situation. We've got a process. We could use that process as part of our main budget process, and then maybe one of the things we can direct staff to look at, and I think the fact that you've said you've already, is to look at, well, maybe, because we always are going to add some, and maybe we average that sum and just add it to each supervisor's community fund, so there's a direct
I like, because when I look at these organizations, they're community-wide organizations for the most part, unless it's like Cambria or something like that specific, but we get a lot of requests just in our local districts to
correct.
Do things. I have one right now for a baseball field to be renovated for a World Series to be played there with Boys Little League. So mm-hmm. That's specific that nobody else wants to fund for the most part. So I know you might want to say something, but
that's just a direction. I mean, meaning like when you ask, when we changed that, I think at your leadership idea a few years ago, I think it has been good for each district to be able to.
It's still pretty small too.
Oh yeah. I'm not. Yeah, it's very small if we compare it to other counties. Yeah, nobody's putting huge projects together. But I do like that in terms of coming back in the future. That's also that we don't have to necessarily, you know, we may end up just doing this all together again after staff comes back with some ideas going forward. It's not immediate. I mean, we're wrapping up this year's budget process, and as we all know, it keeps going. It doesn't stop. So this is just something that staff can bring back some ideas, can work with us, and say, okay, this would be a better thing. Maybe we add to each supervisor's individual districts because they need more. There's projects that are hard to come and ask for when you know it's specifically for your community and maybe not everybody else's. So that's all. That's what I'm saying. That I think staff gets it.
Yep. And I would be open for discussion, of course, but I think this day is different only because we're hearing we did ramp up our individual community project funds, but those usually initiate in our individual districts, and I feel like it would be, we can have this discussion later, but it would be hard for some of these countywide nonprofits to piecemeal it together, where they come here and we kind of have a start, and we have a review committee that's set up that
well, that would stay. I'm just saying this here.
Professionals, but anyway, I'm asking if Supervisor Compton will amend her motion to take Supervisor Gibson's suggestion, but my recommendation would be $15,000 to Cambria Connection because of the fact that their budget was cut so drastically, $10,000 to North County Connection, which, again, Supervisor Gibson's suggestion is to take a look at these resource centers and the good work they're doing, $2,000 to restore what we have been giving to family strengthening, and then the last $10,000 that's sitting there, I suggest we give to Spokes, who helps all of the nonprofits if they need help with their fundraising, and I think that is very powerful because sometimes they're so busy doing the work that they were created to do that the fundraising is more difficult. It's kind of a separate thing, but maybe a necessary thing. And with that help and counseling and the resources to help them fundraise, it feels like we're helping them take a giant step to helping create better funding for themselves. So again, 15 to Cambria Connection, 10 to North County Connection, 2 to Family Strengthening, and 10 to Spokes, who then is available to all these nonprofits. That's my suggestion.
So what was total, 27?
37.
37, and that's what we have left in the balance? So then nothing to community funds then?
That would leave right. $918, which right. you could divide up amongst yourselves.
No, I can clarify, because it was a larger, you know, sort of, and I think staff gets it, because I think I've talked a little bit with Wade, but, you know, like, all this would remain, and this is part of our budget, we have a process, we have a committee, we have criteria, stuff like that, but we would look at, like, maybe not having this separate hearing, being able to follow this as happens, but also maybe the idea is, well, rather than let the board figure out how they're going to chip in this way and have people go through this cringing process of asking for more, let's just do it through our community funds, and then we can individually help those nonprofits that we know in our district. Because everybody's doing great work. Nobody wants to even try to question that, and that's all. That's just, they'll bring it back, we'll discuss it, and see if we can make this a little bit more effective. That's all.
Okay.
I guess I'd like to stick with the original motion with Supervisor Gibson's suggestions and your suggestion, too, for South County, North County Connection, along with Cambria, and then the balance.
For family strengthening.
Right. Well, I think Spokes does a great job. To me, I'd rather use that in my community with local people that need help, that are coming more vociferously this year than they have been in the past, because organizations such as PG&E and other organizations that have funded them in the past are not available to do that. So I'd rather use that on a local basis and just divide it equally among the districts.
So okay. Point of order, so Madam Chair, what is the motion then?
So I'm the motion was Cambria Connection, an additional $15,000, North County Connection, additional $10,000, Family Strengthening, additional $2,000. Which totaled $27,000, and then the remainder to be divided up in the supervisorial districts to use for our local community fund pot. And I think you said, Supervisor Gibson, $2 million that LA County
gets in their district
for their supervisors to use. We get $30,000 in our additional
50.
In our 50,000. Okay, bumped up to 50. That's not a lot to use for local community fund projects. So, and they're all—it's all nonprofits. It's not somebody that can come in and say they want to, you know, do something for themselves. So it has to be a nonprofit to use that money. So, I would like to keep my motion that way. Sorry to disagree with you.
No, it's
I don't
okay.
know if
and there's
a second on that or not.
The second originally.
It was Adam.
I'll let them go before I will speak to the second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Yeah. We just talked about
under discussion. I just wanted to thank everybody, all the nonprofits that came forward. I do believe that every organization, and I think this county is unique, as a As a former Angeleno, I will tell you, with $2 million, though, they have 12 million people that they have to deal with. So it is a little bit different. But I will tell you, one of the unique things about this county is the number of community-based organizations that are helping people, everything from addiction services to children and the things that they're doing in the community to help kids. So I'm very, very appreciative. I will tell you, it's one of the most fascinating things to come from a county of 12 million people 20 years ago and moving into a community where everybody knows everybody and everybody tries to take care of everybody. So I really do appreciate all of the groups that came forward, certainly the ones from Templeton and from the North County area. But from my heart to yours, thank you very much for coming forward and providing what I believe are vital services to the community.
Under discussion, and Madam Chair, first of all, thank you very much for your strong support of the Cambria Connection and your recognition of the good work that they do. I'm certainly supportive of your other allocations. Second, I think your inclination towards spokes was a good one. I think building the capacity of our nonprofit community, not just in their fundraising ability, but in their overall ability to operate as a nonprofit business is a good one. But I think that that can be folded into the conversation that Supervisor Hill referenced, which I support entirely, both in terms of our process, but also in terms of our criteria for judging how we spend these relatively scarce resources. So I'm supportive of the motion as I heard it stated by Supervisor Compton and appreciate that.
And let me second it to be clear, too, because I do agree with Supervisor Compton on letting the remaining go into the each supervisor's community funds. And let me just say something else that we know that the public should know, too. The reason why being able to boost, which I supported when this was first recommended, the individual community district funds is because that allows at least two supervisors to stay within the Brown Act and work together on things sometimes that are part of our region, South County, North County, et cetera, coastal. You know, those are things where Supervisor Pichon, I know, has tried to support a variety of different things throughout different districts, but he might need support on something that's pressing in his district, and this might allow for, you know, for one of the supervisors to say, hey, do you have any, you know, because I remember distinctly having to help Supervisor Teixeira when he first came on the board because he had no money in his funds. So I think we did like a $10,000 loan, something like that. So I like the idea of being able to maybe get rid of this hearing, this.
Can I borrow some money?
If necessary, yes. I mean, for good community projects, this is all of our money. It's the community's money. We're just trying to figure out how to, you know, we're elected to make decisions, and this is one of the decisions. So, yeah, I'm always, if somebody, fellow supervisor, say, hey, you know, this thing's, sure, yeah. So I do second the motion. I'm grateful to my colleagues and grateful to the folks.
Very good. Then we need a voice vote on this with the changes. Everybody, we got the changes in it, right? A voice vote on this particular section of the budget. All in favor?
Aye. Before the voice vote, Madam Chair, just so staff is clear, so we're talking for FY21, on that budget, your board would like to bring us back a plan on how to modify.
We want to have a discussion on that.
Okay,
just direction
right. Okay,
discuss.
So staff will come up with some options and bring back to your board. Correct. For the following year's budget.
Yeah.
Correct.
Got it.
I think that would be appropriate as part of our October discussions on budget strategy.
Yeah. Okay, so the motion's clear to everybody, and we have a voice vote, or we need a voice vote, so all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And opposed? Very good. So we will then go down and ask for a tentative motion to continue the budget hearings to Tuesday, June 18th.
Second.
Wait, there's more. Direct staff to prepare the 1920 final budget resolutions reflecting changes made by the board budget hearings and authorize the auditor, controller, treasurer, tax collector, that's always a mouthful, to make loans between funds for cash flow purposes, and we need a voice vote on that. We need a motion, and then we'll take a voice vote. So can we have a motion on that?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Are we going too fast in it? We're rolling now. Okay, voice vote on that. All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed. Okay, perfect. Then we're going to adjourn this meeting, and the next regular meeting will be Tuesday, June 18th. Thank you all for being here today.